You are now tuned into Virtually Impossible Presents Lazy Learning Land podcast, where we teach teachers how to be lazier yet more effective to increase student performance but decrease teacher burnout and stress. I'm Esta, your hostess that always gives you the mostest while doing the least, aka the queen of working and not working. With over 15 years of experience working in the trenches, aka the hood, and still, I thrive. Today's episode is sponsored by Virtually Impossible's Teacher Pay Teacher store, where you can get secondary math activities and games that are color-changing, self-checking, no prep, and no grading. Visit Virtually Impossible on Teacher Pay Teachers for all your lazy teaching tool needs. And now for today's episode. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lazy Learning Land podcast. So excited that you guys tuned in yet again. Today's show will be nothing short of exceptional. We are going to touch base on the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons. So let's just dive right into this thing. All right. So as teachers, we definitely spend like countless hours putting together all these different lessons, activities, just me trying to keep it real as possible. I can say that we are guilty of putting in more time and energy and effort into certain lessons or topics over other lessons and topics. And to be honest, that's just human nature. I mean, we like what we like, and there's nothing wrong with this, but we truly only have so many hours in a day and only so much energy that we can expend on preparing for these lessons before we are actually required to deliver them and present them to our students. There are tons and tons of articles and research out there surrounding student engagement strategies and tactics. Some districts even go far as trying to hire different consultants to come in and try to help their teachers improve their engagement techniques, so on and so forth. But I'm here to save you both time and money, honey. Because in my book, there is just one golden rule of creating lessons. Like, if you follow this rule, then you don't need anything else, because it's all encompassing. It ticks off, marks off every box. And if you follow this golden rule, you will never be steered in the wrong direction. See, no matter how much technology and education evolves, this golden rule can withstand the test of time. So, what exactly is this golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons that I so speak of? Well, this golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons is, if you are bored teaching it, then they are bored learning it. No matter the subject area, no matter the grade level, each grade level, each subject has specific topics that are just simply not that interesting to the teacher or to the students. And there's a flip side of it. Like, there are some topics that teachers absolutely can't wait to get to, like, every year. It's just like their favorite thing to teach in their subject area. But the students usually are disinterested in some of the things that we're really excited about. And sometimes we're excited about the content, but the way that we present it to our students is what makes them disinterested. So let's talk about a little bit about the science behind this golden rule. I'm going to throw about a little bit of sociology for you guys. So I'm a big sociology, psychology kind of person. Like I feel like in another life, I, you know, may have studied one or both of these. But the science behind this really goes more into the sociology aspect of it. And there's this theory called mirroring. So there's a theory of mirroring, and it talks about the transference of energy. So we subconsciously imitate the attitude of others that are close to us, especially if you have a personal relationship with that person, you are definitely more likely to mirror them. For example, like if somebody approaches you and they've got this low, sad voice, then you're more likely to respond to them matching their energy. And vice versa. If someone approaches you with this high, excited voice, like, oh my gosh, you're most likely going to respond matching their energy. So how exactly does this apply to teaching your students the content area that you are certified in? Easy lemon peasy. If you are energized, if you are excited, if you are motivated about the content that you are teaching or about the activity that you have prepared for your students, then your students will match your energy too. That is the science behind it. If you are bored teaching it, then they are bored learning it. So now that we've got the basics out of the way of just what this is and kind of where it comes from, how do I use the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons? And, you know, I'm really not going to leave y'all hanging. Like, I know this could have been a under 10 minute episode. And yes, it's a good advice. It's a good slogan, but I can't leave here without giving you some tips for application. And to me, I have been stamped with the ADD / ADHD superpower. Well, like at least I consider it to be a superpower. And to me, by tapping into what many consider a handicap of the disorder or handicaps of the disorder, I try to make them work for me. And I do have more on this in one of my posts on how I made ADD and ADHD my adult superpower, but you can check that out on a later day, later time. Let's just focus on the task at hand here. See, I create every lesson for my students with this mindset in mind that if I am bored teaching it, they are bored learning it. And admittedly, like I gotta admit, because I am human just like the rest of us, there are truly some times where I am well aware that the lesson is way less than desirable, but I just got to get through the day. I just got to get through the week because due to some physical, mental, emotional well-being or lack of well-being at that specific time, I may only be able to deliver my students less than desirable lessons, but in my book, it's kind of better than giving them a substitute. Maybe, maybe not. I guess, you know, some people may beg to differ, but you know, some days my 100% isn't 100% of what I normally can give. Sometimes I just have to give a fraction of my best because that's literally all that's in my tank. But when I am operating as my normal self, the lessons I create are with me in mind, me, my ADD, ADHD self. How can I entertain myself while I'm teaching this? I teach high school. I have to teach the same lesson 6 to 7 periods a day. So if I have to do this lesson on repeat, I don't want to feel like the for dry eyes, try clear eyes guy. Like, I don't want to feel like him, or I don't want to feel like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I don't want to feel like that because I'm just doing this same boring lesson or activity over and over again in that particular day. So I keep me in mind. I try to figure out how can I keep my ADHD self engaged. And I also have to couple that with, based off of the topic that I'm trying to deliver, what activities, what tools, what strategies fit the desired style of delivery that I'm going for. So I might know the topic, I might know the content, I might have an idea of how I want to go about delivering it, but I do have to keep in mind, I have to make sure that any strategies and tools that I incorporate actually match with it. Now, hold up. Wait a minute. There is a way to abuse the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons. Yes, there is a such thing as doing the most, as my students will say. But there is a such thing as doing too much. And you may not be bored teaching your lessons, but you cannot just jam pack your lesson with all of these really cool strategies and all these really engaging activities, because you are going to create more of a distraction than you are going to actually pique your students' interest. So you can do the most, but please don't do the most. But also, don't do the least, because the least is boring. So rolling right into it, how do I go about it? I typically go about it through games. And a question for you, like, have you considered creating a game of some sort for your content? Students usually are all in from the beginning to the end, from the alpha to the omega, from the ruta to the tuta. If you give them a game, you just got to kind of make sure that your games have these key components in it. And these are like little tools that I throw in to just kind of make sure that my students don't quit or give up in the middle of the game. So such things as making sure that your game provides minimal penalties for wrong answers. There should be a penalty, of course, because you want to reward those that get it right and give a little penalty to the ones that get it wrong. But don't make the penalty so harsh that kids feel like they're in this hole that they'll never be able to dig themselves out of. Even provide them with multiple opportunities to keep trying until they are successful at getting the correct answer or the correct steps, especially if this is, if you teach a math course, like that's very crucial and critical, allowing them multiple opportunities to self-correct until they get to the correct outcome. You can also, with their games, if neither of those are possible, you can try to allow your students to have a choice of how many points they want to try to earn, how many points they want to wager, how many points they are willing to risk. It's kind of similar to, you know, what they do in Jeopardy, like a Jeopardy style game. And just kind of throwing in a hidden twist also. Maybe if you're doing a board type game on like your smart board or Promethean board or something, if they land on this spot, or if it's a specific card that is pulled, or if you roll a certain combination with the dice that allows a team to swap points with another team, that is a great way to kind of keep those underdogs engaged and kind of give them a little bit of spark of hope or faith. So I always like that one about swapping points, because a team could be like killing it and another team could be stinking up the place. But the team that stinking up the place, they, you know, get that sweet spot and they end up getting the opportunity to swap with somebody, and duh, they're going to swap with whoever's got the highest. And so plot twist, you know, now you've got those kids back engaged that were a little, you know, disengaged a little bit because they were kind of starting to get discouraged. But yes, so I do games. And if you have not checked out my post on the rules to rule playing games in small groups, definitely check that out, because I truly go into greater detail about how to just own playing games in your class with your students, how to make it, you know, relevant, how to make it smooth, how to make it effective. So definitely check that out. But of course, after this episode, keep it moving along. Themed activities. Another way to use the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons is to use themed activities. Like, y'all, this is super cool and just a captivating thing for students. Like, some of my favorites are digital escape games or whodunit clue type mysteries. And they both require students to correctly answer questions in order to get more clues. And the more clues they get, they either get closer to escaping or they get closer to eliminating people, places, and things until the mystery is unfolded. Very rarely, now I've got to admit this, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? Very rarely do I spend my own time and energy creating these types of activities. Very regularly, I do visit teacher pay teachers, and I end up spending a few dollars rewarding another magnificent teacher who took countless hours out of their life to create such an engaging and cool activity that I get to use in my class. And in the end, I get to pat myself on the back because my students enjoyed themselves and I did not have to sacrifice sleep or time with my family or friends in order to make it happen. Win-win. So if those types of activities don't suit your fancy, there are tons, I mean hundreds of other creative activities out there on TPT, which is Teacher Pay Teachers. Just simply search your topic and go from there. Like, some stores on TPT actually provide some really great freebies. So if you're a little hesitant about just diving in and purchasing something, start off with the freebies and allow, you know, a certain store to kind of build your trust with their freebies. And then maybe you'll feel more comfortable purchasing some of their products moving forward because you see the quality of work. But truly and truly, I spend $4 or less on my activities and I've never been disappointed. So that's just me. So I just let you guys in on how I incorporate the golden rule of if you're bored teaching it, your students are bored learning it. But let's just flow into some other ways that you guys can kind of funnel your way into this. And really and truly, by incorporating the different learning styles. Let's talk about incorporating different learning styles. You see, another brilliant way to use this golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons is to appeal to the different learning styles, y'all. You are guaranteed to avoid that pitfall of if you're bored teaching it, they're bored learning it, if you can involve the different learning styles. Reason being is if you are very intentional about targeting these different learning styles, that means you won't risk leaving out any of your students. And if you don't leave out any of your students, how can you not get 100% engagement? And finding ways to incorporate the different learning styles, to me, is one of the easiest ways to get engagement. Because some of the tactics for doing this are so simple and primitive. I teach high school, but some of these things that I'm going to give you as takeaways really come from the elementary school level. Very elementary, very simple to incorporate and implement, but you can still pull in 100% of your students if you are giving a mixture of methods throughout your lessons that actually attract these different learning styles. So I'm getting ready to go into some questions that you can ask yourself as you are planning out your lessons and activities. And these are ways to help you find just ways to incorporate multiple avenues for incorporating these different learning styles on top of what you're already kind of conjuring up. So as you're planning your activity, planning your lesson, these are questions you can ask yourself and see if you can just easily and seamlessly just implement some of these. So let's just dive into it. We've got the auditory learning style, which are called the hearers. So questions to ask yourself, can you incorporate a video or audio clip? Is there a song that helps explain the content or that will help your students remember important information? Can you build in time for student-to-student communication? Is there a place where the whole group, where you can do whole group and whole group discussion? Moving right along, we got visual. I call these the seers. So questions you can ask yourself to attract your visual learners is, can you play a video clip? Will creating a graphic organizer be useful? Can you create a sort on paper or digitally? Will the use of colors or color coding or even coloring for creativity make things stand out, with the use of colorful paper enhance key components? Can they write on miniature whiteboards? Is there an opportunity for them to draw their own images? Is there an opportunity for them to use clip art images from the web? All right, so for my kinesthetic learners, these are the doers. The doers. Are there any manipulatives you can incorporate? Are students able to cut and or glue? Can you create a paper or digital sort? Are there hand or body gestures or any dances that can be used to represent key components of the content? Are students able to create a skit or act out their understanding? Would a carousel walk be fitting? Can they rotate to different stations and do different activities at each one? Are they able to build, construct, or put something together? Can they draw, color, or write? Is there a constructive reason for them to get up out their seats? So that's your key, you know, learning styles and just some questions you can ask yourself. Feel free to rewind, pause it, write down a couple of them, whichever ones resonate with you. But if you can ask yourself those questions and pick, you know, at least one component from each category of learning style, then you are sure to keep your students engaged because you are truly hitting the mark for all of them. But let's roll into technology, because technology is all encompassing. The most obvious way to ensure that your students are engaged in your lessons is to incorporate technology. Find a way to put a screen in front of them. And for more tips on effective ways to use technology in your lessons, check out my previous post on use a screen so you won't have to scream. It's one of my 5 lazy laws. It's lazy law number 2. Check that out. But of course, after you finish this one. Now, some questions you can ask yourself if you are considering incorporating technology is, can you convert your PowerPoint to an interactive digital presentation using tools such as Quizzes or Nearpod? 2 of my favorite. Are you able to pre-record the entire lesson or part of it? Is there a video clip that you can play to introduce or supplement your content? Is there a teacher pay teacher's digital product that fits your needs? So again, those are some things you can ask yourself about if you're considering incorporating technology. But let's sum it all up. Let's bring this thing on home. Swing, bada, 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 swing. In conclusion to using the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons, y'all. Some students dislike school in general. They just hate it. They there so they don't get fined. Other students love school, but they just really dislike your class because they don't like the subject. And sometimes they don't like you. But that's another episode. Some of us teachers have been teaching the same content for years in a row, and we can get stuck in these ruts of just, I teach it this way every year. I've been teaching it like this for years. And we get into these ruts where we just do the same mundane, boring thing, and it becomes boring to us, and we're not evolving our lessons, so we're not engaging our students as the type of students and the generation of students that we end up teaching evolves. But regardless of the situation, students and teachers both have the potential to be bored out of their mind and disinterested in scholastic content. It's a real thing, y'all. So keeping this in mind, that if you are bored teaching it, then your students are bored learning it. Try to find different ways to spice it up. Keep it spicy. The same way you try to keep spice in your relationships. Keep spice in your lessons. It is not realistic that every day is going to be super exciting as Miss Frizzle's random field trips in the Magic School Bus. Love me some Magic School Bus. I'm kind of dating myself, but I did grow up on it. However, being intentional regarding how engaging most of your lessons are can help both you and your students look forward to your classes. Utilizing the golden rule for creating highly engaging lessons creates a mindset, y'all. This is a mindset. Some of y'all need a mindset shift that allows you to stay flexible, reflective, and open to trying new ideas. I know some of y'all just broke out into hives because I said flexible and being open to trying new ideas. Yes, my veteran teachers, you got to be flexible. All of which, coupled with creativity and your enthusiasm, can surely help you to say goodbye to boring lessons. So what I need y'all to do right quick, I need y'all to comment below which questions you're going to ask yourself when creating lessons that will help you spark some ideas for what you want to use in some of your upcoming lessons. Y'all, this community doesn't work if you don't. So just chime in the comment section below. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode of Virtually Impossible Presents Lazy Learning Land. Again, comment below your thoughts on how to create highly engaging lessons and ways to avoid, if you are bored teaching it, then they are bored learning it. What resonated today with you? What are you willing to try? What are you already trying that works? Help a brother, help a sister out. And since there is strength in lazy, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast, my blog on virtuallyimpossible.net, and our social media platforms, Pinterest and Instagram. On Instagram, it's virtually_I'm_possible, so you can feel at home among other lazy learners. This is your girl, S.Dot, signing off. And until next episode, remember to live long and lazy and never, ever work too hard.